First of all, please understand that water baptism in itself has no saving power. People are baptized not in order to be saved, but because they are saved. We are saved by God's grace through faith in his son, Jesus. Not by what we do, but by our faith. And so we're not baptized to be saved, but because we are saved, because we do have faith. And when we are baptized, it's a public confession of that faith in Jesus. We're telling everyone that we've made this decision to follow Christ. And this is what Jesus told his disciples that they should do in the Bible. He told them to go into all the world, making disciples of everyone everywhere, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So baptism is an ordinance commanded by Jesus that's filled with symbolic meaning. To understand it better, think of it as a sacred drama, as acting out the truth of the gospel. When the person is lowered into the water, it symbolizes dying to sin and being buried with Christ. And when they are raised up out of the water, it symbolizes new life. Water baptism also symbolizes being washed and cleansed from sin, as some of our Sunday school kids said. It's a picture of what Christ has done in our hearts. It's a symbolic act that shows in a visible way that Christ has washed away our sins and that you've been raised from death to new life in Christ. And water baptism is a public confession that your sins are forgiven and that you have become a true follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Before we send our baptismal candidates to prepare themselves for their baptism this morning, I want to share with you some thoughts about the baptism of Jesus, because his baptism has an important message for all of us here today. And this story is told in the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew chapter 3 begins with an introduction of a guy named John the Baptist. He was a preacher who lived in the wilderness, ate locusts and wild honey. You could say he was unusual. But John was an extremely popular preacher at this time, and huge crowds came out to hear him speak. And scholars estimate that he baptized tens of thousands of people. John the Baptist also did something very unique in his day and age. He baptized Jews. See, Jews were familiar with the rite of baptism, but it wasn't something that Jews did. That was for Gentiles, for those who were converting to Judaism from another religion. So baptism symbolized back then the washing away of the old sinful pagan selves as they accepted a new life as a child of the one true God as they entered to Judaism as converts. But Jews didn't believe they needed to be baptized because they were already God's children. John, however, emphasized that we are all sinners that need to repent, no matter what our heritage is. His message was, turn away from your sins and get ready for the Messiah. And then one day, while he was baptizing people, he said these words about Jesus the Messiah. He said, I baptize with water those who turn from their sins and turn to God. But someone is coming who is far greater than I am, so much greater that I'm not even worthy to be his slave. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. He's ready to separate the chaff from the grain with his winnowing fork. Then he will clean up the threshing area, storing the grain in his barn, but burning the chaff with never-ending fire. Then Jesus went from Galilee to the Jordan River to be baptized by John. But John didn't want to baptize him. I'm the one who needs to be baptized by you, he said. So why are you coming to me? But Jesus said, it must be done, because we must do everything that is right. So then John baptized him. After his baptism, as Jesus came up out of the water, the heavens opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and settling on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son, and I am fully pleased with him. When John was baptizing people, some of them wondered if he was the Messiah, and they asked him, who are you? And he told them, I am a voice shouting in the wilderness, prepare a straight pathway for the Lord's coming. John's message was, the Messiah is coming soon, so get ready. In Matthew 3, he says, I baptize with water those who turn from their sins and turn to God. But someone is coming who is far greater than I am, so much greater that I am not even worthy to be his slave. In a sense, John was rolling out the red carpet for a king. He was preparing the way for someone much greater than himself. And that someone was Jesus, the Messiah, the Savior. And this is how John described the coming Messiah. He said, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. John's words tell us what we can expect from the Messiah and what he'll do for our life. And there are three things he shows us here. First, Jesus will give you power. And second, Jesus will make you pure. And Jesus provides a path to follow. First of all, John shows us that Jesus will give you power. He said, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Now, when we put our faith in Jesus, his Spirit comes to live within us and give us new life. But the concept of God living in a person was not a familiar concept in the days before Jesus' baptism. It's not an Old Testament doctrine or teaching. It was understood in those days that God's Spirit would come upon one of God's prophets as he prophesied or as he performed mighty acts. But it was only a temporary experience. The Spirit would come and the Spirit would go. The idea of being filled with the Holy Spirit, as it is taught in the New Testament, was a foreign idea to them. However, for centuries, the Old Testament prophets have been predicting a time when the Spirit of God would live in people in a new way. In the book of Ezekiel, it says, I will put my Spirit in you so you will obey my laws and do whatever I command. And in the book of Joel, it says, I will pour out my Spirit upon all people. God promised in the Old Testament that there'd be a time when he would make the power of the Holy Spirit available to everyone. John the Baptist said that promise would come true through the Messiah. He said, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. And so when we put our faith in Jesus, the Spirit comes to live in us and it gives us new life. And every Christian has God's Spirit living in them. And this is something that's awesome. But John is telling us that Jesus wants to do something even more. He wants to baptize us in the Holy Spirit. Now, let me show you what I mean by that. Let's say that this glass represents the Christian and the water represents the Holy Spirit. Now, when a person asks God to forgive their sins and invites Jesus to live in their heart, the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of that person. The glass is the Christian, the water is the Holy Spirit. But John tells us that Jesus wants to do something very special for his followers. He wants to baptize them in the Holy Spirit. Now, the word baptism, as I told the kids, means to immerse or to be plunged into. And so when Jesus baptized us in the Holy Spirit, this is what happens. We are immersed in the Holy Spirit. We are soaked in the Holy Spirit. Now, you might be wondering, well, what is that all about? What's the point of all that? Why does Jesus baptize us in the Holy Spirit? Because the baptism of the Holy Spirit gives you power. Power to share in Jesus' mission. Power to tell others about him. And we need the power of the Holy Spirit to do that because we are just ordinary people. How could any of us awaken faith in the heart of an unbeliever? How could any of us tell a story that was powerful enough to see someone completely transformed? How could any of us open the doors of heaven so others could come in? How could any of us lead someone else to Christ? We're just ordinary people. How could we do that? Well, John tells us how. By the power of the Holy Spirit. That's how. Not by our influence, but by the power of the Holy Spirit, God calls every believer to share in his mission. And the power of the Holy Spirit is for every believer. And Jesus came to give us that power. Now you might think, well, that sounds really great, Rob, but how do I receive that? Well, you receive it by asking for it. Jesus said, if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? To receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you pray a prayer like this, Lord, baptize me with your Holy Spirit. It's a prayer that says, Lord, I don't want to go my way, I want to go your way. I don't want to live by my power, I want to live my spiritual life by your power. It's a simple prayer, that involves, first of all, submission, of giving myself over to God and yielding myself to God. And it also includes faith, which is trusting God to come and empower me with his Holy Spirit. Jesus said, "How much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Jesus came into the world so that we could experience the fullness of God in our lives and the fullness of his presence and the fullness of his power. And so in a nutshell, that's what it means to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And that's what John said that the Messiah would come to do. Now, secondly, he tells us that Jesus will make you pure. He said he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. What does he mean by that statement? He'll baptize you with fire. Well, what does fire represent? Well, for one thing, it represents purification. For example, when metal is heated into a liquid, all the impurities float to the top, and then they can be poured off and removed so that what's left is pure. In a similar way, the fire of the Holy Spirit purifies our lives. When John promises the fire of the baptism, he's promising God's work in your life to make you pure. The Holy Spirit helps us to become pure. He convicts us of sin, and he gives us power over temptation. He's saying the ministry of the Messiah will be to cleanse your life of everything that's not pleasing to God. And then John uses this further example. He says he is ready to separate the chaff from the wheat with his winnowing fork. Then he will clean up the threshing area, storing the grain in his barn, but burning the chaff with never-ending fire. Now you might be wondering, why is John the Baptist now talking about farming? Was the Messiah coming here to be a farmer? Well, no. This is a metaphor, of course, a figure of speech that makes it easier for us to understand the ministry of Jesus. You see, when grain is harvested back in those days, it includes impurities called chaff. And back in Jesus' day, grain farmers would use a tool called a winnowing fork, which is like a big shovel. And then they would scoop up the grain and chaff that was on the floor and toss it into the air. And because the grain is heavy, it would fall to the ground. But the chaff is light, and so it would blow away by the wind. And the two would then be separated. And John is saying that this is the work the Messiah will do in your life. He will separate the wheat from the chaff, the good from the bad, the meaningful from the insignificant. Now, some people might interpret this as a threat, but I think we should see it as a promise. Jesus wants to clean up your life, to set you free. He wants to get rid of everything that is useless and harmful so you can be pure and holy. See, chaff has no value. You can't bake bread from chaff. If you want your bread to be worth eating, it must have good grain in it. You have to eliminate the chaff. The same way, if you want your life to produce good results, good spiritual fruit, you have to get rid of sin. You have to get rid of the impurities. And that's why we need the baptism of fire. We need to pray that and ask God to burn away everything in our lives that is preventing us from being who he wants us to be and from doing what he wants us to do. We need to welcome the baptism of fire because God is using it to make us pure. He's using it to get rid of everything that's holding us back. This includes every kind of sin. It includes mixed up priorities, even religious phoniness, and anything else that keeps us from living like Jesus. Jesus came into this world so that his followers could become pure. He wants to cleanse you so that you will be free to serve him with a pure heart. John's words in Matthew chapter 3 first show us that Jesus will give you power. And secondly, Jesus will make you pure. There's a third thing we see in Matthew 3, and it's that Jesus provides a path to follow. Remember, Jesus came to John to be baptized. Ever wonder why he did that? John was preaching a baptism of repentance, but Jesus didn't need to repent, right? He is without sin. He didn't need God's forgiveness because he's never offended God. He's never broken any of God's commandments. And so why did he come to John to be baptized? Even John said, "I am the one who needs to be baptized by you. Why are you coming to me?" And Jesus answered him, "It must be done because we must do everything that is right." Jesus was baptized by John to show people that John's message was right. so that we would know that we need to turn from sin and ask God for forgiveness. Jesus did it as an example for us to follow. It's a message that we all need to hear and obey. Jesus was saying, my act of obedience is an example for everyone. He's saying, follow my example. And of course, the Bible teaches us that we are to be following the example of Jesus in everything. 1 John chapter 2, verse 6 says, those who say they live in God should live their lives as Jesus did. This is a scripture verse that motivated the WWJD wristbands that came out a decade or two ago that were very popular. The wristband is meant to remind people to live like Jesus by asking the question, what would Jesus do? Jesus set an example for us. He provided a path for us to follow. And on that path, he shows us to be baptized and to follow all of his teaching. I want you to also notice that the baptism of Jesus, at his baptism, it also marked the beginning of his mission or his ministry. And as he was baptized, the Spirit of God descended on him, and a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son, and I am fully pleased with him. So God's words made it very clear to everyone, Jesus is the one whom we should be following. He is the way. And later in his ministry, one of his disciples asked him, how can we know the way, Jesus? And he answered him by saying, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. Jesus, the Messiah, is our path to God. We are to follow his example. We are to follow his teaching. We are to follow him to the Father. So Jesus came into this world to be the Messiah, your Messiah, your Savior. He wants to fill your life with power by baptizing you in the Holy Spirit. He wants to make you pure by burning away all the chaff and all the impurities and all the things that hold you back by baptizing you with fire. And he wants to give you a path to follow, a path that leads to the Father, to eternal life. And that's something that only the Son of God can do. Today, as your pastor, I'm going to baptize you in water. But Jesus is the one who will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. I'm going to ask the worship team to come as we pray. Father,